This week, we are focusing on the Black Mamba. Now, the Black Mamba is probably the most notorious or infamous snake in the world. Everyone knows the Black Mamba, and most people fear the Black Mamba. It's got a terrible reputation, one of the worst reputations of any snake. I hear so many stories about how you got to watch for the Black Mamba because that's the snake that will chase you, or that's the snake that will rear up and look you in the eyes and latch onto your jugular. Crazy stories like that, or it's the one snake, if cornered, it's going to chase you. Before I started working with Black Mambas, I was quite scared of them, I must admit. I'd heard all these crazy stories about them. They are big. I mean, I'd seen plenty in snake parks. I remember at the old Durban Snake Park, I saw one rearing up at the glass and striking at the glass when we were walking past. So, yeah, it was a snake that always made me nervous before working with them. I was doing snake removals in school, or very little. I mean, we'd put adverts out in the school newsletter, and I got calls, but very few. But I always kind of dreaded a Black Mamba call, and I knew if I got a call for a Black Mamba, I'd call for help. I went to work at Dangerous Creatures at Ushaka straight after school, and it was there my boss at the time, Carl Schlums, he taught me how to work with Black Mambas and helped me understand them a lot more, which was really important. And then when I started working for myself doing snake removals, I just wanted a Black Mamba call, what I waited for, and it took about a month before I finally got one, and it was a difficult one. It wasn't easy. When I got to this house, the snake was in the storeroom, and as I got around the corner to view the storeroom, I just saw the tail going up into the roof, and I raced over, but it was too late. The snake was in the roof. So I got up, took the roof tiles off, couldn't really see anything. I made quite a mess, actually. Then I found a gap where it could have come back down into the storeroom. So we had to clear the storeroom, which I'm basically part-time cleaner because I have to clean out so many storerooms. And so cleared it out, and then we found this Black Mamba in a corner, and it's a space between two walls, like a half a meter space. So I had to clear out some rubbish, and the snake was cornered now, so you know, now I was kind of thinking, oh, is it gonna attack me like everyone says? But it didn't. It just stayed there, opened its mouth, and looked intimidating. But that's all, and I managed to pin it down, and sure, my adrenaline levels were pumping. It was such a rush, but I absolutely loved it. 2 days later, I had one in a car, which was even more difficult. It was in the dashboard. We were taking apart the dashboard. At one point, I had the head in my hand by the pedals, and the body was still stuck in there, and then I had to end up releasing the head because we just couldn't get the body out. It was chaos. Again, we eventually got it out, and then just calls came through, and I've had, I don't know how many mambas I've caught now. And through all my rescues with them, I've learned that they are so misunderstood. These snakes do not attack people. I've been in so many scenarios where these snakes could and probably should have attacked me. I mean, pulled them out of tight places. I've been in ceilings with them, chasing them around, really annoying them. Even for photographing them, they're trying to get away, and I keep pulling them back for their portrait photo. They just haven't attacked me. I've had one or two try and scare me off with a quick strike. Other than that, they've not charged me, they've not chased me. I've never had to go running for my life. There's been calls where I've had to chase after the mamba in a garden. Now here you'd think the mamba's going to turn around and come for me, but they just want to get away. I've found that when I'm working with mambas, like if I have to catch one, even in the storeroom, that snake's got no to go, but you can see when you're looking at it in its eyes, it's just trying to think, where can I go? I need to escape. Where can I go? It just wants to get away. Working with them has been such a pleasure, such a privilege. Now I'm trying to use my experience to try and teach people about Black Mambas to respect them, but not fear them and hate them. They are very common in the Greater Durban area and in many parts of KwaZulu-Natal. Durban is really fascinating, and it's attracted interest from a friend of mine from Ireland, and now we're doing research on them because, I mean, Durban, the Greater Durban area, our population's almost 4 million now, and among the 4 million people, there are many Black Mambas. In our Greater Durban area, the Black Mambas occupy the valley areas. The Palmy Valley, the Mbilo Valley, all the little valleys and reservoir hills, all those areas, and Upper Highway, Kloof Gorge, you know, that's their preferred habitat. Rocky cliff areas where there's lots of dussies, rats, that's their preferred habitat. So if you live in the middle of suburbia and there's no bush around you, if you have a black snake, it's probably not going to be a Black Mamba. But if you live bordering a valley or gorge, then there's a chance you're going to have a Black Mamba. Don't pack up and move because, gee, I'd love to live on the edge of a gorge. But yeah, there are the occasional Mamba. But what's interesting is that there are so many here. I'm using Durban as an example because it's where I'm from. But there are so many here and so many people, yet we see hardly any bites. Okay, we had a bite in 2020, an unfortunate accident in the Shongweni area that was one I've heard of. That's about the only one I've heard of confirmed bites in Durban. So bites are very rare for the number of mambas that there are, which is interesting, and it shows that they aren't out to get us. The one unfortunate thing is that dogs go for black mambas and many other snakes. Cats, weirdly, I found that cats don't go for them. I think they know that's not a snake to mess with. In fact, mambas love kittens, like feral kittens. So when feral cats breed, it's, you know, often in the bush or in homes bordering the bush, the mambas come. A couple months ago, I actually watched a mamba devouring a kitten. It was quite a scene, not for the faint-hearted. I mean, there was nothing I could do. The kitten was long dead and already halfway down the mamba's throat, and the mother cat just watched on. Like, apparently the homeowner told me that there were 5 babies initially, and then suddenly there were none. This was the last one. So mambas love them. For mambas to be out eating all the feral kittens, although the kittens are cute, mambas are actually doing the environment a bit of a favor. If the kittens aren't taken to SPCA and just left to grow up and live in the bush eating everything, that's a problem, because they don't belong there and they are eating pretty much everything that moves. So if you do spot a black mamba in your garden or anywhere around your property, please keep your dogs away. There was actually a horrendous video going around a couple months ago. Someone was standing behind their glass door in the Verulam area, and they were filming. It sounded like 2 or 3 people in the background as well. They were filming their dog attacking a black mamba. I remember when it went on Facebook, people were losing their minds, because these people weren't calling their dog, shouting at their dog, they were just filming, and it was just disgusting, because obviously the dog lost its life and so did the snake. I'm not saying please get between your dog and the snake, but call your dog. I mean, if it's going after the snake, do whatever you can to get that dog away from the snake, because your dog probably will die. Please don't hate the snake for that. I know it can be hard, but that snake is just defending itself. It would rather get away. Many of the calls I get for black mambas, the properties I go to often have piles of rubbish around, and that's where the mamba's hiding, in the rubbish. Sometimes it's a messy storeroom that's just infested with rats, and I can't tell you the frights I get, like, when I'm picking up dustbin bags or moving things and suddenly a rat jumps out and onto my foot. That's far more terrifying than moving something and seeing the mamba. I get excited when I see the mamba. When a rat leaps out at me, I don't get excited, I can tell you that. Sometimes it's when people throw rubbish over the fence, you know, that's in there. Wood piles, anywhere like that. So if you can keep your property neat and tidy, please, that helps the snake catcher, but also it decreases the chance of mambas coming to your property. The bushes and trees, don't keep that. I like to encourage people to keep trees. You know, we need oxygen. It's rubbish. That's what really brings the rats, and that's what mambas are after. Mambas love rats. They love dussies. You can't really do much if you've got dussies. But rats, it's the rubbish. Like in ceilings as well. I get a lot of calls for mambas in ceilings, and there's loads of rats up there. But to be honest, I mean, rats in the ceilings, most people have rats in the ceiling. Most people deny it. But I go into the ceilings, I see rats in most ceilings, or signs of rats. If you see a black mamba, please don't shoot it, try and chop it, kill it. That's when you're going to be in danger. When you approach a black mamba and you want to hit it, chop it, whatever, that's when you are going to get bitten. That's extremely dangerous. I remember a few years ago in Verulam, there was a man who had one in his kitchen, and he beat that mamba to death. And while doing that, he got bitten, but he didn't even know. I remember reading about it, and he went and I think he burnt the body, and when he got in to watch TV, that's when the symptoms kicked in, and that's when he realized he had been bitten. And I remember the headline saying something like, "I'll never kill a snake again," quoting him. So he learned his lesson. It was fortunate he survived and he was okay. So yes, please, for your own safety, I'm not just saying this because I love mambas, I do, but please, just for your own safety, don't try and kill them. It really isn't wise. If a mamba's in your property, always call a snake catcher. Don't try and deal with it yourself. In fact, I think at the end of 2019, we had a gentleman in the Queensborough area who had a black mamba behind his bed. He moved the bed back and there was the snake. And this man pinned it down with a rake and grabbed it behind the head like snake catchers do. This may, if you see it on TV, some people, actually, I think very few people think, oh, that's maybe not so difficult. But you need to be trained, and it is actually difficult if you're not sure what you're doing. And no one should try. But this guy did, and he held it behind the head, and he wasn't holding it correctly, so the mamba just twisted a bit and managed to get one fang into him. To his credit, though, this man remained very calm, walked down to the bottom of his garden, chucked the snake in the bush, and then phoned the ambulance. So he was very calm about it, and it was nice. Yeah, he really loves snakes. He had no ill feelings toward them. Really cool guy, actually. But yeah, that was a good lesson for members of the public, not to try and pick them up, not to try and catch them. Okay, so just leave them alone, phone a snake catcher, and keep pets away. The black mamba has a potent neurotoxic venom. This venom basically just shuts down your body. You get a bit nauseous, you can't keep your eyes open, your speech is slurred, and it's fast acting as well. So it's considered to be the most dangerous bite in South Africa of any snake. So it is obviously not something to mess with. And if anyone is bitten by a black mamba, they need to get to hospital immediately. That person can't drive to hospital because of what the venom does to the body. That person won't make it there. Someone needs to drive that person to a hospital, or an ambulance needs to be called. If a black mamba is cornered, as I mentioned, it's not going to attack. What it might do is, at first you'll see the tongue flickering. It's like analyzing what's going on, what should it do. It may raise up a little bit, but it will open up its mouth, and inside its mouth is pitch black. Pitch black inside, and it's quite an intimidating sight. It can hiss a little bit. It's not this dinosaur hiss, it's not that loud. It's, if you're close to it, you just hear this. It's quite eerie, actually. As I mentioned, I've not really had one raise up at me or anything. But yeah, they open their mouth and tell you, that's their way of telling you to please get lost. Black mambas, the easiest way to identify them is they're really large snakes, generally. For some reason, we don't see many babies. I get one or two babies a year if I'm lucky. The rest are over 2 meters long. In fact, any mambas under 2 meters long is quite a rare sight. So it's a large snake. And a mamba over 2 meters long is usually almost as thick as an adult wrist, if not more. They're grayish black color. They're not pitch black. Sometimes they even appear quite brown. They're matte in appearance. So like if a mamba's basking in the sun, it's not quite shiny like some snakes. They don't have a shiny appearance. It's a matte color. That's how you identify them. A baby mamba, if you want to identify that, it's quite easy actually. As soon as you get anywhere near it, it will often raise up and open up its mouth. They're a lot more cheeky than the big ones I find. You know, they're smaller, so they're more scared, and they raise up, will open up their mouth, as I mentioned. And the baby black mambas hatch out the egg at 50 to 60 centimeters long. So they're long babies. So if you see a snake shorter than that, it's not a black mamba. Of course, every brown, gray, black snake to people is a black mamba. That's how most of my calls go. People say, a big black mamba, it's 40 centimeters long, it's very scary, and I'm saying to him, it's not, but you can send me a photo to confirm. We are doing research on black mambas. My friend Cormac Price and I, the University of KwaZulu-Natal, we are trying to study Durban's black mamba population. In certain valleys in Durban, we are microchipping the mambas. These microchips are not trackers, unfortunately. That's the goal, that's what we want to get, but it's expensive and we need tiny little trackers. But what these microchips do is they allow us to see if that mamba's been caught again. So they're actually the same microchips that are put in dogs and cats. The company that manufacture them very kindly donates us microchips for this work. And so we microchip the mamba, and then every mamba we catch, we scan to see, is this one of ours? But only in those certain areas. Then we can see if it is one we've caught, then we can see, oh, it's moved this far, it's grown this much. So we get quite a lot of interesting data out of it. And we have had a number of recaptures. Because we've been doing this since 2016, now time's gone, we've been getting interesting results. Like a couple weeks ago, I had a mamba that I caught in 2017, and it had grown, I think, just over 20 centimeters. It had actually gone back to the area it had first gone in. So there's always been a theory that black mambas always return to where they've been caught. This has happened with our microchip mambas, actually. So maybe it supports it a bit, but it's not every mamba. It seems to be mostly male mambas that return. But this is not to say every male mamba will return, and it is obviously depends on a few factors. Like in Durban, people think, yeah, there's no snakes, but it's actually mamba mating season, black and green. I enjoy this time of year. I enjoy winter because female mambas leave a scent trail. They leave pheromones. The male mambas pick this up with their forked tongue. That's how they smell. They attract the females. And if two males bump into each other in close proximity to the female, they'll start fighting. They wrestle. So that's like the ultimate call for me. Two male mambas will wrap around each other and they'll wrestle. They'll throw each other to the ground. They don't usually bite each other. In winter, people see this and think it's mating. Mating usually takes place like in a secluded area, not out in the open fighting. This is fighting, male combat. They don't fight to the death usually. They fight till one gives up and goes away and the winner claims the mating rights. Winter 2020 has been one of my most productive with mambas. The beginning of winter. In the Queensborough area and one road, on one day we had two male mambas fighting. I caught one, and that turned out to be the biggest mamba I had ever caught. It was just over 3 meters long, my record. So that was awesome for me. The next day, I went back to look for the other male, and maybe the female, and while we were standing in the garden, we had caught the mamba. We got a phone call from a house in the road just above us, because there was some bush behind this garden, and on top was there was a cliff, and on top was a road, and there was a mamba in the house just above us. So we drove there, caught that one, and he had actually been seen two houses down, moving towards where we were, where this female was. 2 or 3 days later, in the property next door to where the first two mambas were fighting, there were another two mambas fighting, wrestling it out. This time I managed to catch both. For that female, we had 4, maybe 5, because remember I missed a male, males going after her. Multiple males can be attracted to this female, and they can travel quite far, it would seem, to find her. They can pick up that scent. How they do that just blows my mind a bit. I don't know how they do that.